witness is at, we can kind of turn to the Lord and say, God, you know I got this little problem. I need some help. Boy, and He's right there to help, ain't He? Amen. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. Boy, and He sure is worthy to be served. Amen. So you help Miss Lynette pray for that desire in her heart. Amen. Anytime you got a desire, a burden to do something for the Lord, hey, let God's children know. And we pray together and ask God for help. Amen. Well, it's good to know God wants you to do something for Him, ain't it? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah, prophet of the Lord. A lot of prophecies in the book of Jeremiah. We'll take one of his prophecies through Ezra. We'll be preaching out of the book of Ezra in just a minute. And how Jeremiah prophesied about what was going to happen of the children of Israel coming back, rebuilding the temple and the walls being rebuilt in the book of Nehemiah after the book of Ezra. Jeremiah prophesied about it. Isaiah wrote about the prophecy that Jeremiah spoke. And thus when you look in Ezra chapter number 1, we won't look in it this morning, but it talks about Jeremiah spoke and prophesied about this rebuilding of the temple. And it's not recorded in the book of Jeremiah what he spoke, but Isaiah wrote it down. We're going to read you a little passage of Scripture, kind of give us a little jumping off place this morning on the thought that God's put on our heart. Boy, I enjoyed Bible school. It's been said, a lot of people's already said it, and it was good time of refreshing in the Lord, not being ashamed. Boy, a lot of things in this whole world make you ashamed, but boy, we ought not to be ashamed of the Lord, have we? God's the best thing ever happened to any of us, and we try to instill it in these young people, because you get out there and peer pressure comes and the world jumps at you, and then sometimes you make mistakes and sometimes you're not able to do what you'd like to do, and these things begin to creep in our lives and they cause shame, as they preached this week. But what the Lord Jesus Christ took our shame. When He died on the cross for our sins, on that old rugged cross, He died openly before this world, naked, amen, and beaten and bruised for us. He took our shame on the cross of Calvary, that thank God we won't have to face the shame of hell one day. I want to just kind of jump off on that a little bit more this morning and preach on the thought of a shame. Look in Jeremiah 6, we'll read verses 9 down through verse 17, and then we'll turn to the book of Ezra and preach out of the book of Ezra this morning. First, Jeremiah 6, verse 9. The Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear?" It's the question the Lord asks. "Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." The Lord said, "I'm speaking, and I desire to speak, but who can hear what I speak? Because their ears are uncircumcised." The Bible said that the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Now we know the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God can give faith to your life. The word of God can correct you. The word of God can guide you. I mean, the word of God has the ability to do what we need in our lives, but we don't want it. Are we reproachful to it? We don't delight in it. He said, "Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, even every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely." I mean, the Lord looking at the condition of the children of Israel, and as you look at His description of the children of Israel, you kind of look at the description of America today, and it's kind of like that. The Word of God's wanting to come forward, but nobody wants to hear it. Nobody delights in it. And so the Lord says what he told Israel, because you don't delight in my words, you won't listen to my words, I'm going to let judgment come on. I'm going to allow the judgment of the world to correct you. Amen. And it's going to get bad. And he said, not only am I allowing the world to jump upon you and the great covenants that's given to them, he said, even the prophets and the priests. He said, not only the people out there living wickedly, you got the prophets and the priests, you got the people behind the pulpits living wicked. Amen. I mean, Brother Johnny was telling me today about a situation that a lady was telling him about, how that a church that a pastor had run off and took $500,000 away from the church and is gone. That's where you're living, man. I mean, it's not only happening in the pews, it's happening in the pulpit. I mean, the world's in bad shape. The church is in bad shape. The pulpit's in bad shape. And the Lord's looking out saying, what a mess we're in. Yeah, amen. And I don't want to just seem doomsday prophet, but hey, sometimes you got to just admit the facts of where we're at. Yeah, amen. We're not in the greatest condition, man. It ain't looking too bright. But boy, our future in heaven is. Amen. Amen. Thank God this ain't our home. We're just passing through, man. If you're lost, this is your home, and you need to get saved and get out of here with the rest of us. Amen. He said, it's bad. He said in verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, here's what they're saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse 15, to top it all off, he said, were they ashamed when they committed abominations? I mean, it's bad that we're in that shape and nobody's hearing the word of God, and God's going to judge the people and judge the pulpit, and everything from the pulpit out to the world is in a pig pen, if you will. And the Lord said, you know what's the top of it all off? He asked the question in verse 15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Was anybody ashamed of what was going on? He said, nay. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. You ever seen such a wicked generation of people that just full-fledged dive into sin and they're not even ashamed? And their face don't even turn color no more. We about forgot what a blush is. Because we hear it so much and see it so much, we're numb to it. You can't even get young children to blush anymore. He says, therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I mean, the Lord looked at the condition. He surveyed the condition. Through the mouth of Jeremiah, he revealed the condition to the people, showed them how bad a shape it was in. And then the Lord says, I've got a remedy. I've got help for that condition. Why don't you ask for the old paths? Why don't you get back in the old way? Why don't you do it the old time way and get out of the mess you're in? You know what they said? We will not walk therein. I don't care what you say, Lord. I don't care how you talk about how to get out of it. I'm happy where I'm at. Verse 17. Also, I will set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. We thank you for this congregation of people that is gathered around the Word of God this morning in this place of worship. Those that are watching it on the internet, God, we pray, God, you'd give us a little still spirit in our souls this morning, whether we're sitting in this pew in this place or on the internet watching it live, that the Word of God that is quick and powerful might go forth with power and conviction and challenge to all of our hearts. God, you might birth someone from the devil's hell to the family of God today by your power. God, you might wake up the children of God that are not ashamed to live the way they're living contrary to you. That you might bring Holy Ghost conviction back down to our souls, that we might ask for that old path and walk therein again. God, do something mighty in our midst today, God, because we know you can. You're able, God, if someone's willing. God, so we pray that you'd send that Holy Ghost conviction, power of the Holy Ghost to wake up that lie. They might call on you and be exactly what you'd have them to do today. We love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Ezra. If you look in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you'll find the little book of Ezra. It's right before the book of Nehemiah. Ezra is a little 10-chapter book. And Ezra, as we said a little bit earlier, and Nehemiah deal with the fact that the children of Israel are making their way back to their homeland. If you study the history of the children of Israel at this time, the children of Israel had disobeyed the Lord. Kind of like Jeremiah described over there in Jeremiah 6. And Jeremiah spoke about the time when they would come back. But he's talking about how they went out away from God. And they turned their back on God. And they were not ashamed to go out into their sin. And they went out and done their thing. And God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the world system to judge his people. He allowed them to be taken into bondage, amen, and rigorously serve the Nebuchadnezzar in his kingdom. And now they had served Nebuchadnezzar in his kingdom. God is now saying, hey, it's time for them to make their way back to their land. Go back to where they worshiped me. And the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah is speaking about the children of Israel going back to their land, rebuilding the temple, reinstating worship. Nehemiah said, we rebuild the walls after the temple was built in Ezra and setting up the place of worship the way God would have it to be done. And it typifies what the Lord would do to Israel in the future. Now he's slowly bringing Israel back and God's going to grab them back in and give them back their land. Amen. But right now we can get a little bit of spiritual truth out of the book of Ezra that I believe we can glean this morning about being ashamed and not being ashamed and maybe some things we ought to be downright ashamed about. Amen. I want to take the three practical truths from the book of Ezra and show us what we should be ashamed of. If you wanted a title for the message, it'd be simply this: shame, shame, shame. Somebody ought to be ashamed. But you know what I see, first of all, Ezra chapter number 7, the first thing that we ought to be ashamed of, we ought to be ashamed of how long it takes us to get serious about serving God. You know what? I can look back on my life, and I'm not trying to, you know, throw stones and dig up old bad junk where we didn't used to serve God. But the reality of the fact is we ought to be ashamed of how long it took us all to get saved. Now, I'm glad I'm saved, amen. Let me just clear that. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad God washed my sins away. I'm glad as a 21-year-old boy, I was lost without God on my way to a devil's hell. And I called out for God, and he had mercy on me. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washed away my sin. He set me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heaven is my home, amen. Amen. You know what? I can look back. I'm ashamed it took 21 years to get saved. And not only am I ashamed it took 21 years to get saved, I'm ashamed since the fact that I got saved that it took me that much longer to get serious about serving God. Amen. Miss Lynette just stood up and testified about the fact. Amen. It doesn't matter how long you've been going in this thing. Brother David spoke about how even in late in age that he got serious about serving God and started doing the work he did. But you know what he'd say this morning? The same thing I'm saying this morning and the same thing you ought to say if you're right with God. Is, you know what? I'm ashamed that it took me that long to get serious with God. I'm ashamed that it took that long to get serious about serving the Lord. Look in Ezra chapter number 7 in verse number 1. The Bible says, now after these things, something's taking place. Do you know what's taking place in the book of Ezra? He said, now after these things, the reign of Ataxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah. Do you know what you find right here in Ezra chapter number 7? Chapter 7 in verse number 1. After these things, guess who shows up? Ezra. You say, what's the big deal about that? After this thing, here comes Ezra. I mean, the book's called the book of Ezra. But you know what's amazing? There's only 10 chapters in the book of Ezra, and it takes 7 chapters before he ever shows his face. I'm trying to throw stones at Ezra. Amen. God used the man. He uses him mightily in this chapter, in this book. We'll see. And we'll use his life as an illustration. But you know what? Why did it take 7 years to get serious? After these things, now you're going to show up? After these things that came, come to pass in chapter 1, in chapter 2, in chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, now you're going to show up? You know what Ezra is? Ezra's what we call in the work job. He's a blister. He shows up when the work's done. Amen. Some of y'all, that ought to be your nickname, blister. That's when you show up when the work's done, amen. Some of you don't get that because you never had a blister, do you? It's bad when you have to give an illustration like that, you have to explain the illustration. A blister is one of those bumps that you come up on your hands from using a tool. You never seen none of them, have you, Hannah? I know you ain't seen one on Jeremiah's hand before. I mean, you got to work to get a blister. You know what the answer is? He's a blister. He shows up when all the work's done, amen. When all the heavy lifting's done, now he's going to show up. Amen. After these things, you know what's taking place? After the exile of most of all the people that came back in chapter 1 and 2, and then he shows up. Hey, why did he come back when the rest of the crowd came back? Hey, why did he get serious when everybody else was getting serious? Why did it take him that long to show up and get serious about serving God? I'm saying Ezra ought to be ashamed of how long it took him to get serious about serving God. And we said it this morning, if you're serving God, glory be to God. I'm glad for that. God's glad for that. God's people are glad for that. But we ought to have some shame in our lives how long it took us to get to where we're at. Amen. And it ought to shame some of you the fact you still ain't got serious about serving God. You're still playing games with God. You're still dabbling around this old stinking world. And you ought to be ashamed of the fact that you're not serious about serving the God that saved your soul. Amen. After the exile, most of the people come back. Now, after this, here comes Ezra. Not only has their people been exiled back from the bondage they were in, but you know what else has taken place? After they had built the temple. I mean, why did he show up and help build the temple? Why did he show up and put some brick in the wall? Why didn't he throw a little bit of lumber up there? Why didn't he put some gold up? Hey, why didn't he get busy? Amen. After these things, here comes Ezra, amen. He shows up after the temple's been built, after the exile of people that came back, then he shows his face. In chapter number, we see the resurrection, the bringing back the exile of God's people after the worship and the altar has been built. Then here comes Ezra. I mean, why are you riding on everybody else's coattail? Why you got to wait for somebody else to get the place of worship back up and the place of in the altar back where it needs to be? Why are you showing up right now? Hey, you know what? You know what, young people, we coming out of Vacation Bible School. Some of you young people need to get serious about serving God. Amen. Let me help you out. You know why we got some teenagers that's not serving God right now? You know why we got a generation of teenagers who went haywire on God? Because they never got serious about serving God. They had one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and it's some of you the same way. You got one foot in your telephone, one foot on the internet, one foot out there in this old garbage world, the other foot in church and in Sunday school. You better get serious about serving God. If you're not soon serious, you're going to be soon gone. Amen. Amen. You ought to be ashamed of the fact that you're straddling the fence with God. One foot in and one foot out. And I know we blame everybody else for what's gone wrong in our lives. But the reality is we ought to be ashamed by the decisions we make ourselves. Amen. Amen. We're steadily blaming everybody else. And you go out the doors and you go out into the world and you point your finger at everybody else. How can you point your finger at everybody at the church when you're out there drinking it up, smoking it up, and doping it up, and fornicating it up, and blaming it on everybody else? No, you just won't sin more than you won't God. Amen. And you ought to be ashamed of it. Amen. You ought to be ashamed of the fact that you're still straddling the fence. Ezra, what is your problem? Why are you showing up now? You ought to be ashamed of how long it's taken to get serious about serving God. The altar's been built. Worship's been restored. Hey, the temple's back in its place. And now you show up. Where you been the whole time? Amen. Let me just stop right there and ask you a question. I believe we need some good old Holy Ghost conviction preaching every once in a while. And this is one of those Sundays. And we appreciate you coming, amen. But you need some conviction in your life. You know what? What's taking you so long to get serious? I mean, how much more does the Lord have to do? I mean, has he not already done enough when he hung on the cross for our sins? Did he not love us enough to save us out of the shape that we was in that we can't get serious about serving the Lord? Amen. Hey, Ezra, what's taking so long? wrong, amen. After these things, now you want to show up. Hey, thank God if it's been there and you've been out there. Thank God you're coming in and getting serious now. But God help, where have we been, amen? We're to be ashamed about how long it took us to get serious about serving the Lord. This book's about over, amen. There's only 10 chapters in the whole book, I already told you. And the 7th chapter you show your head, now you're going to show up? Man, thank God for the last 3 chapters of your life, man. Thank God for the little bit you got. Hey, but the reality is we're to get on our face and say, God, I'm sorry for the time I wasted. Do you know we're going to give an account to that one day? Now, I'm glad we can put it in the blood and get some things right, but there's a reckoning day coming for the children of God of how sorry we've been about our service to God. Do you know what you got? We got on church pews a bunch of sorry people that don't halfway serve God. And even in the pulpit. We ought to be ashamed the way we serve God, amen. It ought to cause us to blush. It ought to cause us to get downright convicted about our lives, amen. Why are you going to wait till now to show up? You know what we need to do? We need to pick up our Bibles now and get busy for the Lord. Amen. You need to pick up your Bible and make a request with God that God might use you. Ezra showed up after these things. Now look down in verse number 6. The Bible says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God. Do you know what caused him to get serious about serving God? It was the Word of God. It caused him to get serious. Now, he sat back there for 7 chapters, ain't been nowhere. The temple's been built, all has been restored, everybody's worshiping God, now he's showing up, but thank God he's showing up. He was a scribe. You know what a scribe is? A ready scribe. A scribe is someone that had authority over the Scriptures themselves. This man had the Word of God in his life. Matter of fact, if you read what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the New Testament about the scribes, he had a lot of bad things to say about some scribes. The keepers of the law, you know why? Because where much is given, much is required. And a bunch of those scribes were given the law, had a responsibility to keep the Scriptures, but they blew it. But not all of them were like that. Baruch was a good scribe for Jeremiah. Amen. Ezra ends up being a good scribe. He was a ready scribe. Because you know what caused him to get ready and get serious about serving God? It was that book got real to him. That Scriptures that he was keeping got real to him. And you know to know when you're going to get serious about God is when the Word of God gets serious in your life. That's more than just a storyteller book. That is the words of Almighty God. And they're speaking to our hearts. Amen. He got busy about the Word of God. Do you know what he did when he got busy about the Word of God? He made a request to the king that he might go do something for God. You know what we need? We need to pick up our Bibles and make a request to God and get going for him. Amen. You know what Ezra did? Look in chapter 7, verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Do you know what Ezra did? Ezra prepared his heart. Do you know what happened one day? That old book got real to him. And he thought, man, you know what? I've been a scribe all these years. They've been teaching me the Bible since I was in Sunday school as a little toddler. Mama, daddy's been bringing me to church all my life. They've given me a responsibility to take the words of Almighty God and put them under my heart. Do you know that Bible you toting is the words of Almighty God? I mean, the responsibility that God has given you to put a Bible in your hand to guide your life. I know the world don't think much of it, but I don't care what the world thinks, amen. That's God's words, it's God breathed, and it has something to say about our lives. And Ezra said, man, that thing's starting to churn in my heart. It's starting to cause me to be ashamed of my filthiness and my slack of service to God. Instead of being ashamed of God, I'm ashamed that I haven't been serving God, amen. You know what he did? The Bible said he prepared his heart. He got his heart right, amen. When that old book begins to speak to you, you better get your heart right. You better lay that heart on the altar. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what you're going to do? What's in your heart? And your heart don't get right, your life's going to go wayward, amen. You better get your heart right with God and prepare your heart. He can prepare his heart and say, God, here's my heart. I'm giving it all to you. I want your desire, your will for my life. He got his life right with God because he was ashamed that he wasn't seized with God all those years. He prepared his heart. He prepared his heart. Not only did he prepare his heart, but he sought the Lord. He sought the law of the Lord. I mean, Proverbs 8 speaks about seeking it early in your life. I mean, when you gonna get serious? When some of you young kids gonna get serious? Hey, when some of us middle-aged adults gonna get serious? Hey, when some of you elderly people are going to get serious? When are we going to get ashamed about how sorry we're serving God? I mean, He's a holy God. I mean, He wants us to walk with Him. He's given it. Man, what is He? He's given us everything we need. He's giving you the book, Ezra. You got the words of God. You got the Spirit of God inside your heart. What's the problem with you serving me? He began to seek the Lord. What are you seeking in your life? I mean, he prepared his heart. He sought the Lord. And then you know what the Bible said? He did it. You know what Ezra said? You know what? Enough's enough, man. I know what God's telling my heart. And I'm going to seek God's will for my life. And now that he's shown me, the Bible said he did it. He just got up and went. I mean, some of you maybe, you know, your heart's getting tender and getting soft about it. And you're trying to find the will of God. Now he showed you. Now what you going to do? Get up. Just get up. You say, well, I know what I ought to do. Well, get up. Well, I know I ought to get serious. Well, get up. Maybe you're here and you're lost without God. You know if you die, hell will be your home. And in your heart, you know that to be true. And you know what you need to do. Get up. Why keep postponing? Why keep waiting? The devil's best trick is to say, put it off another day.
Amen.
He's just waiting for you to die in space eternity without God. Hey, stop putting it off. Get ashamed that, you know what, I've wasted enough of my stinking time. We need to get ashamed that we've been no more serious about serving God than we've been. He got up and he did it and he began to teach others. We should be ashamed of how long it took us to get serious about serving God. Hey, number two, I said shame, shame, shame. You know what the second one is? We should be ashamed that we have not spoken more about our Savior to the world. We ought to be ashamed of that. Look in Ezra chapter number 8. We ought to be ashamed that it was taking us this long to get serious about serving the Lord. But you know what? We ought to be ashamed that we have not spoken more about our Savior to the world. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 22, the Bible says this. He says, for I was ashamed. What you ashamed about now, Ezra? You want to hear what he said? Look at this. He said, for I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us. Ezra's got a work to do. And the king knew he was coming down there to do a work. And Ezra said, you know what? I was ashamed to ask that worldly king to give me some help. You know why he was? Look at this. Don't miss this. He says, verse 22 again, for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and his horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because, why? Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them that for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against them that forsake him. Do you know what Ezra said? He said, I done told the king how good my God was. And I told him how what my God would do against the enemy that came against me. And so when I went out there and the enemy came to rise up, I didn't want to go tell the king, send me some help, because I done told the king what my God could do. And I was ashamed to let him know that my God couldn't come through. Do you know what you find in Ezra's life? He said, man, I've spoke up so much about God, I'm scared to back up. I'm ashamed to tell the world God can't do it, that God, my God, can't do it. Do you know what? We ought to be ashamed that we've not spoken up more about the Lord than we have.
Amen.
I mean, here's a world out there in a mess, and we know it. I mean, there's no mystery, man. With everything that's going on in this world, I mean, from politics down to the pit in this world, amen, every bit of it's in a stinking mess. But my God's able. God's still on the throne. He's still saving sinners. His book's still true. And we ought to be ashamed of the fact that we told nobody about it. We shut our mouths about God. Ezra said, I spoke so high about my God, I cannot go let the world know that he can't come through. You know what? We ain't spoke enough about him, so we ain't ashamed to grumble. We ain't ashamed to let our co-workers and our family and the world know that our God can't come through, and we got to pity mouth about everything God's doing. You know why? Because we ain't spoke up enough to let the world know what he can do. And you ought to speak so highly about God that you're too ashamed to let the world know that he can't come through. I didn't told them how much my God can do to back up now.
Amen.
Hey, we ought to be ashamed that we not spoken more about our Savior. Hey, amen, the one that saved you from a devil's hell. The one that picked you up out of that horrible pit and set your feet on a solid rock, gave you a reason to live, took the gun out of your hand, took the pills out of your mouth, took the alcohol off your breath, took the whoremongering out of your life, and established you. You ought to be ashamed we ain't spoken more about it.
Amen.
We've shut our mouths about God. He's been too good to us to shut up.
Amen.
Why am I going to back up on him? Why shouldn't I brag on him? Ezra said, I'm ashamed to let the world know my God can't do it. He said, I'm ashamed. Ezra was a man of faith. He had enough faith in what God could do, and he bragged about how much God could do, that he was ashamed to let the world know he couldn't come through. What was it? Where did he get that faith? Well, he got that faith from that book. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen. You know what Ezra knew? Without that faith, I can't please him. Do you know what you know? You know what I'm talking to people that know their Bible this morning. You know that Bible gives you faith. And you know that Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. You know that, right? And we know that when the Lord comes, according to Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? He said, I give you a book to give you faith. You know without faith you can't please me. And I'm looking for faith when I come. And we ain't done nothing by faith. That'll shame us. That'll shame us that we ain't spoke up enough about our God. Everybody we, listen to me, everybody you work with ought to know Jesus Christ saves sinners. Yeah, that's right. There is no excuse for none of that. If you hang around people and you're around lost people that don't know God, whether they're on the job, whether they're in our families, whether they're in our church, it ought to be ashamed on our account that we have not let those people know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and the only way to get out of the mess that you're heading to in this world and the world to come. We ought to be ashamed of that. Don't nobody have to twist arm and tell them what God done for us. I mean, He's the best thing that's happened to any of us. There's been some good things happening in our lives. Our marriages, our kids, half the time. Our grandkids all the time. You know, there's been some good stuff. But there ain't nothing been as good as me as the fact the way God came by one day and lifted the burden of sin off my shoulders, took the condemnation of God off my life, gave me a guaranteed home in heaven, gave me a Bible to guide my life, the Holy Ghost to live inside me, hey, friends along the road to help me out, a church to go to. Man, God's been too good for us to shut up. Ezra said, I was ashamed to let the king know my God couldn't come through. I done told him what he could do. Amen. Do you know what to keep you from grumbling down at the workplace and keep you from grumbling around your lost lovers that don't know God? You brag up so big how God is because that's how you can't out brag on Him. Amen. You can't speak above what He is. You can't. You can't describe it enough and go beyond where He's at. You won't reach the hem of the garment trying to brag on Him. But we ought to do it so much that we're ashamed to come up and say, well, you know what? I just want to tell you how bad it's been. No, I can't do that. I done told you how good God is. How can I go back on everything I done told you? Do you know what Ezra did? He bragged. Hey, we should be ashamed not to have spoken more about our Savior. You know what he bragged about? Look in Ezra chapter 8 and verse 17. The Bible said, and I sent them with the commandment unto I do. It probably ain't how you pronounce it, but it sounds good. I said the I do. Somebody needs to be I do. The chief and the palace of Sophisia, and I told them what they should say unto I do and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place of Keshiphim. Well, I just made up a word, didn't I? Listen to this. That they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. Now, I'm sure that I did not pronounce those guys' names right. But you know what Ezra did? He said, send them guys to come down there, down at the house of God. That place that they built, you know what he wanted? You know what you found Ezra doing? You found that guy speaking highly about the place of worship. He had done spoke so much about the preachers. He had done bragged on the preachers so much. He had done bragged on those people in that church so much. He had done bragged on that place where he went to worship so much that he was ashamed to ridicule the world about him. Have you spoke so highly about the church and the preacher and the people that you're ashamed to tell some dirt on them? We ain't ashamed. We ought to be ashamed the way we've talked about the place of worship. We ought to be ashamed the way we talked about the preacher, whether this one or whoever. You ought to be ashamed of what you said about the people of God. You say, yeah, but they got faults. Yeah, who don't? But who put you in authority to go run everybody down? Listen, you know what your family needs? Listen to me. You know what your co-workers need? Your co-workers need a good dose of that Bible. Down there where you get, if you didn't think this church was teaching the truth, you ought to have been gone a long time ago. Amen. Now, you might not like some things that's went on, and somebody might have spoke bad about you, and the preacher might not have looked at you the right way. That stuff's going to happen. But you can't shake the fact that that Bible is true, and what's coming across that pulpit is the truth. Amen. And you ought to be spoken so highly about it that they'd want to come down and get some of it and get saved themselves. You know why some of your family members won't come to church with you? He may help you out. And you ought to be ashamed about it because you run your mouth too much about the church. Now that's a sad statement, amen, but that's the truth. We can't get people to come to church and listen to the preacher and fellowship with the saints of God because we run our mouths about all of them. You know what that's going to do? That's going to cause the people to never want to hear that Bible, never want to go down to church, and if they're lost, go to the devil's hell because you are running your mouth and you ought to be ashamed about it. He's ashamed to go let the king know that God can't do it. I done bragged on him too much. You didn't think that he thought his faith got a little weary because he even thought about it. He thought about going to get the king's help, but he thought, man, I can't do that. I done bragged too much. Do you know what? There'll come a time you'll get a little weak and you'll think, man, I'm just going to let somebody know what I think. You go ahead and let them know what you think. And all those 10 years, 2 or 3 months, or whatever you've done trying to witness to that person and get them down to church and get them saved and get them right with God, you're going to get sideways with somebody at church and go run them down at the meal and talk trash about what's going on down there and wonder why they won't never want to hear another word you've got to say. You ought to be ashamed. People run down the church, run down the people of God. Amen. He was ashamed. I couldn't do that. Amen. He spoke up about the house of God. He spoke up about the saints of God in verse 18, 19, and 20. He spoke up about the way of God in verse 21. He said, then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. He spoke up about the ways of God. Amen. Hey, when's the last time you spoke so highly about your Savior to the world? Think about it. When's the last time you went to a sinner and said, let me tell you how good my Lord Jesus Christ is to my life? Do you know what? You hear the crickets? You know why? Because that's how long it's been. And we ought all be ashamed of it. That we ain't bragged on God no more than we have. We talk more about the stinking corona and the stinking government and the stinking congressmen, and the stinking presidents and vice presidents and people running and those that are coming. And we run out. We ain't spoke about the best things ever happened. God knows when. We ought to be ashamed. I mean, what? You know what? Whoever wins the presidency is not going to help this world. Amen. If they get a cure for corona, it ain't going to change the problems of this world. It's a sin problem, and Jesus Christ is the answer. As long as you live in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be affliction. But our God is so good. Amen. He said, I just spoke too much about him to go back on it. I'm ashamed. We ought to be ashamed that we're not spoken more about the Savior. We ought to be ashamed. Hey, shame, shame, shame. Number three, look in Ezra chapter 9. We ought to be ashamed. Number one, I said we ought to be ashamed of how long it took us to get serious about serving God. Number two, we ought to be ashamed that we've not spoken more about our Savior to the world. But number three, the last one, we should be ashamed about the sin in sinners and saints' lives. That ought to shame us. It ought to cause some people to blush. The things that sinners are doing and saints. Look in Ezra 9. Look in verse 1. The Bible said, now, when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, here's what they said, the people of Israel and the priest, pulpit and the pews, and the Levites, the big rulers, have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Ammonites and the Moabites, the Egyptians and the Amorites. He said, they ain't separated none. He said, verse 2, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves, for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, Here's what Ezra said. I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. He said, when they told me this, they done set up the king, the throne, they done set up the altar, the place of worship, the people's done come back, and they still living in wickedness? He said, I rent my mantle. I sat down astonished. Are you kidding me? Verse 4, then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of God, the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. You ever sat around astonished? You know what I found myself doing this past year? Sitting around astonished, thinking about the people that used to sit on these pews that's doing God knows what right now, and it's an abomination.
Come on, bro.
And I'm like Ezra, sitting there astonished, thinking, what in the world went wrong? How could somebody leave a Bible-believing preaching church, know what they know, and go do the things that they're doing? What in the world's going on? And Ezra said, I was astonished. Then when everybody else found out, some other people got astonished. Are you ashamed? Look what he said. Look at this. He said, in verse 6, and said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses is gone up into the heavens. Since the day of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, have been delivered into the hands of the king of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to the spoil, and to the confusion of face, as it is this day. You know what he said? I was ashamed of the mess that we was in. Ezra, you had to be ashamed. It took you that long to get serious about serving God. But now that you're serious, thank God for it. But we ought to be ashamed that we've not spoken up more about our Savior to this world. And we ought to be ashamed of the condition of the saints of God and sinners in this world. You know, to cause us, do you know what's going on in this stinking world? We ought to be ashamed of it. But you know what? Some of it out in this world is being done by people that know the God of that book. You say, preacher, we're eternally secure. I'm glad I am too. But it ain't never give anybody a reason to go live like hell. We ought to be ashamed of it. We ought to be. There's things happening, like he said in the book of Corinthians, amongst the people of God that ain't even named amongst the Gentiles. In other words, he's saying there's things going on in the church that people that claim to know God, that people that don't know God ain't doing. They doing worse. People that say they know God are doing worse than people that say they don't know God. That's where it's at today. And there ain't nobody ashamed. These youngins ain't ashamed to tattoo their body. They ain't ashamed to fornicate. These girls ain't ashamed to fornicate with girls or boys. That's a shame, man. You say, preacher, why are they just born that way? There ain't nobody born that abominable. That's a choice you made to live like hell, and people ought to be ashamed of it. You ought to be ashamed that you wasted your purity on some no good thug out in this world that you're going to save for somebody that you can spend eternity with God. Yeah. That's a shame. And we ain't blushing about it. We doing it in the church. We bringing it in the church. Doing it outside the church. Hey, as I said, I was astonished. What in the world went wrong?
Yeah, amen.
He said, I was ashamed. They had no separation, verse 1. They had no sanctification, verse 2. You know what James says, James 1 and 12? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Listen to me, young people. Listen to this preacher. There's going to be things that come your way that's going to tempt you to do wrong. You know what the Bible says? Blessed is the man that endures that. That says, I'm not giving in. I'm not going to do it. You know what James 4 and 4 said? You know, see how much God thinks about the wickedness of this world? Listen to this. He said, ye adulterers, that's males, and adulteresses, that's females. By the way, that's the only two kinds there is in the Bible, and the only two kinds of people there is in the world.
Amen.
Males and females. He said, you adulterers, listen to this. James 4:4 says this. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You say, I don't know what that means, preacher. Well, he breaks it down a little bit further. Listen. He said, whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Amen.
Now, you know exactly what that means. You say, I don't know what enmity means, but you know whosoever is a friend of this world is the enemy of God. Amen. If you're out there leaguing up with this stinking world, God says you're an enemy of me. Amen. That's the way he feels about it.
Amen.
That ought to cause some shame. And you know why people ain't getting right? Because they ain't ashamed of it. Because you know what? Here's what we do. Listen, and I know what you do. You know somebody else is doing it. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care if Pope Francis is doing it. It doesn't matter. Well, I know other people in the church that ain't doing right neither. Whoever said that gave you a right to do wrong?
Amen.
I don't care if everybody in this stinking church live like hell. I don't care if the preacher got drunk every night. I don't care if he smokes dope, lives like hell, and fornicates and does it, commits adultery on his wife. And God help, I don't. But if I did, it does not give you the right to go against a holy God.
Amen.
You can blame everybody else you want to. God is a pure and holy God and expects righteous living out of our lives.
Amen.
And we all ought to be ashamed of the fact of the way we live.
Amen.
He said, shame, shame, shame. We ought to be ashamed about the condition of sinners and saints today. You know what we need to do? We need some good old-fashioned Holy Ghost Bible confessions. We've never had people going to an altar and begging God for forgiveness. Godly repentance. You want to read something? Read Ezra 9 and 10. Two little short chapters. See how they got right. Look in chapter 10, verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel every great congregation of men and women and children, and the people wept very sore. When you've been so broke over the way you live, when you got so upset about how bad it is, and put away the filth, that's what they did in verse 3. In verse 3, they put it away. In verse 4 and 5, they arose and got back going. It's all right there. They went down to the altar and said, God, forgive us for this wickedness. You know when you're going to get right? When you get Holy Ghost conviction about it and see you've transgressed before a holy God. And I ain't worried about the preacher. And I ain't worried about somebody in the pew. I'm worried about getting my heart right with God. I don't care who's looking. I don't care who hears me cry. I don't care if my mascara runs. I don't care if I got to pray out loud. I don't care. I want some relief. I'm sick and tired of the mess I'm in. We need to get ashamed. Ezra said, I was ashamed. It took me that long to get serious about serving God. Hey, some of you still ain't got serious. You ought to be ashamed about it. You ought to be ashamed. There ain't no way around it. You ought to be ashamed of your service to God. We ought to be ashamed. Every one of us ought to be ashamed that we've not spoken up more about the Savior of this old world. Good as he's been to every one of us. We all can speak more about him. You know I'm telling you the truth. And we ought to be ashamed about the condition of sinners and saints. It ought to cause us to pray for somebody. God help they don't get right with God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We need to get right with the Lord about it. You need to get right. I don't care. You say, well, I don't care what you think. There's a holy God that says, I care. And he wants you to come clean. He wants you to get serious. He wants you to come out of this stinking field and get right with God. And we ain't going to do it till we get ashamed.
Amen.
Some of us need to find family members and co-workers and the world and say, I'm sorry for the way I've talked so poorly about my God.